Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. Kia ora tātou. It's Anne-Marie Currie, your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. Today we're focusing on aspects of preparing for emergencies and disasters. And I have with me in the studio Greg Morgan, who is the Principal Business and Partnerships Man from Auckland Council in the Emergency Management Department and working alongside departments that form the Community Planning Unit. Now, Greg's role focuses on supporting Auckland's diverse communities to be ready for natural disasters and other emergencies. And this includes us, older people. So Greg comes from a background of leadership and management in Auckland libraries, in the tertiary and disability sectors, but we remember him most for his lead role in being the official council officer attached to the seniors advisory panel, the first one set up in the second term of the Super City. So welcome, Greg.
Oh, thank you very much, Anne-Marie. It's great to be here with you.
And it's great to have you on board on this topic with your knowledge of seniors and their needs in the community. I'm sure that your answers are going to be very valuable. But straight up, I think it's important to sort out language, because sometimes people think of emergency management, they think civil defence. Mm. And why don't we have civil defence anymore? And where's civil defence gone? And so if you can clarify the language, that would be helpful, Greg.
Yes, thank you. Well, civil defence is actually quite an old term. I think it goes back to the late 18th century. And it's always referred to protecting the civilian population, property and environment from major disruptions and disasters. Now, the thing is that we are all civil defence. I remember some years ago watching a little video about a person who had lived through the Christchurch earthquakes, and she said, "I didn't used to know my neighbours. I know them now." And that's the thing. When something unexpected happens, when there's a major disruption, the person who will help you will probably not be an emergency professional. It will be the ordinary person right next to you.
Indeed. With the bad run of the bad weather that we've seen over recent years, and the number of once-in-a-hundred-year type floods and fires and things happening, people are beginning to think more about what they need to do to be ready. And I'm just wondering if you've got any special advice for older people.
Mm. Well, as I've just said, being ready for an emergency is a job for all of us. Of course, some of us have that as our profession, and so we work with a lot of support partners and with other agencies, with the police, Fire and Emergency New Zealand, MSD, Health and so on, a big number of agencies. However, being ready for emergencies is a job for all of us, including older people. And I'd like to note that older people are really influential in their communities. They're influential within their families and within their circles of friends. So they're great people to be saying, "Actually, what have you planned to do if something were to happen? Have you got a plan? What have you been learning about at school? Have you been taught what to do if there's an earthquake?" And when we ask those sorts of questions of other people, it's a good idea just to think, gosh, what have I thought to do? What have I planned on the basis of my circumstances? And so, you know, that's just what I would say, to be aware that we can help others, think about others, we can absorb messages, but our job is to be practical in what we are thinking we will do when something happens.
Mm. I was thinking, I listen to older people thinking ahead, planning for things, and many are going overseas and they're thinking about where I'm going to be walking because I won't have my car and I'll need to be able to carry certain things and I'll need to walk a certain distance and I'll need to strengthen my ankles and do a bit of stair climbing and in practice. And so they often put on a backpack and put in the sort of gear that they would use for a day's adventure and go walking and trial things out. Mm. And I've then said to myself, well, hang on, do you do that in terms of readiness for disasters? Yes.
Well, absolutely. So the language that's often used for that is muscle memory, you know, building up our muscle memory so we know what to do. Many people are familiar with the three words drop, cover, hold, the earthquake advice. It has had cut through. And so people kind of remember that and they can picture themselves doing it. They might sometimes wonder how they're going to do it. And there's good advice around that. If you can't get under a table, to sit on a chair and brace yourself, lean forward, cover the back of your head, that kind of thing. People ponder that. I think there are some other things that we could do to be ready as well and to practice. And you're absolutely right, Anne-Marie, in all parts of our lives, actually, some of what we're doing could be used in another aspect of our life. So if we're practicing walking and so forth, we could also think, gosh, if I had a little bag in my wardrobe that I could grab quickly and leave the house with it and know how I would walk safely, what I'd wear on my feet, if I need a walking stick, that kind of thing. The fancy language for that is having a grab bag and being ready, but actually it's a very normal thing to do.
So planning is something that some people do really well because it's been part of their job. But for many people, it feels like it's some arduous chore. They're not really quite sure what an emergency plan looks like, and whether everybody should have the same sort of plan or how it should.
That's right.
I've heard people say, oh, our family's got a plan, you know.
Yes.
But, for people who live alone, I think it's a different issue.
Yes, that's right.
So I'm just wondering if you can talk to some of those things.
I can. Yes, it reminds me, I heard somebody say once, oh, sure, I made New Year's resolutions. There they are in the envelope on the mantelpiece. And that can sometimes happen with plans, can't it? So I think there are probably three major points. The first, what are the hazards in your area? What are the things that could potentially happen around about where you live? And so you might want to find out about the flooding risk in your area. You might want to discover what hazards make up the Auckland landscape and environment. What are the things we're most at risk of? And if you can prepare for a couple of those, then you'll be prepared for all sorts of unexpected things. You don't go too far down into thinking it's going to be just one thing that will happen, because nobody has the crystal ball, but your preparation will be generally useful for all sorts of unexpected circumstances. The second point is to jot down what you're thinking. And there are some templates that you can get. You can download them from our website, for instance. I'll give you the website address. It's quite easy. aem.govt.nz. aem.govt.nz. Or there's the official government website, getready.govt.nz. You can download a template. The template asks you three sets of questions. One set of questions is about what to do if you can't get home because of an emergency. The second set is about what to do if you have to stay at home on your own for some days. And the third set is about what you would do if you had to leave your home because it's unsafe to stay there. And there are no right answers. You think about your own circumstances, your own health needs, aspects of your life that are just particular to you, and you jot down your answers on that plan, because if you think ahead, it will help you not freeze when the unexpected thing happens. And the third really important aspect, which we can all do and keep our knowledge up to date, is learn about how to get information during an emergency. So think about a radio and batteries. So talking with older people, it's fine to talk about radios and batteries. Doesn't work so easily with some young audiences. People know about radios. They know about the importance of the spoken word. Radio New Zealand carries emergency information as the official provider during an emergency, but plenty of other radio stations too do as well. Think that Even if you can't go anywhere in your car, you could sit in your car and listen to the radio. How do you stay connected? Think about the websites that you might have to look at if the web is running, if the internet's working. And maybe just think about being a bit smart with a smartphone. So learn how some of the features on a smartphone work so that you can preserve its charge for as long as possible. Put some of the power saving features on, for example, and maybe just think about sharing information as well, particularly if you're not a computer user, you don't have a smartphone, maybe your neighbor does. And so you can work together so that both of you can know what's happening. So those are the three points: thinking about hazards, jotting down the ideas that you have, jotting down phone numbers is useful, particularly if you have to give a phone number to someone else. Lots of us these days rely on our smartphones, and we might not remember numbers so easily, so writing them down is good. And then the third thing, just do a bit of figuring out how you are going to stay in touch no matter what happens, how you can get the right information from the right sources.
I think the right information from the right sources are key words here.
Yes.
Because sometimes wild stories abound and people spread these stories, unfortunately.
They do.
It's not always who you, well, it's not every what you hear, but it's who you've heard it from.
Yes. Well, again, it's good to have a look at the getready.govt.nz website. It's good to look at the Auckland Emergency Management website, and we always put up watches and warnings if they are in place, and we will have information on our website right at the top of our website should we be activated and there's an emergency. I also recommend that people have a look at the website RNZ Emergency. So Radio New Zealand's website has a very good emergency page now, and it has guides and practical tips and some video content for all kinds of people in the community, and it really, really is a very valuable resource. So I'd think about having a look at that. Some people will use the Met Service app on their phones, for instance, which will give watches and warnings as well. There are lots of information resources. I want to say, before the listeners say not everybody's a computer user, that is absolutely the truth. This is why it's a good idea to become friendly with people who are computer users. And there's no reason that you can't sit together and look up things together. Some of the tools that you might use, which are area specific, you could ask the person to enter the area you're interested in and to share the information with you. So there are hard copy things, but just because you don't use a computer or phone doesn't mean you can't access the online material too. That's what our friends and family are for. And all those young folks, you know, the young folks that we reward with sweets and all that, well, their job is to help us all be informed. So build the connections. Yeah.
Yes, and that's very important locally, especially when people live alone. I've always believed that, and there are lots of models now and research to back this up, that having four contacts within a reasonable walking distance of your home is a real godsend, because you never really know what's going to happen to other people. I mean, something could happen and a wardrobe could fall on somebody.
That's right.
Or, you know, so they might not be in the picture and they might not be able to help you.
Well, I think there are two aspects to that, Anne-Marie. One is you're talking about having some backup, which is a good idea. But the other thing for older people to remember is that they too can help other people. And so maybe you could think about neighbours or people around you and have a chat with them. If something happens, I'll check on you, you check on me. And checking on a person doesn't mean that you have to scramble up a ladder onto a roof. It might mean that you look out your window and see what the house next door is looking like. Do you have to ring 111 because something has happened? Do you have to ring some other number where emergency related information is being gathered? So just checking on each other is really very valuable. I also want to say that if people who are living on their own and they're just wondering who they'd rely on and so on, It might be good to see whether there's a group active in your area, such as neighbourhood support. We have a memorandum of understanding with neighbourhood support. They're really close partners of ours, and I give them a shout out. So Auckland Emergency Management, you know, is part of the council that works in civil defence. We can go along and do talks and so on. Neighbourhood support builds belonging at the street level, and increasingly they're doing it in apartment blocks and so on as well, thinking of people in vertical living. So some of those connecting groups, and there might be other local ones, church groups, social groups, that are working in that very local level, could be fantastic for people who live on their own to go along, build connections and be up front, say, you know, I'm a little nervous about emergencies. Could I help you and could you help me? It's time for us all to talk about the reality of doing this.
Yes, talking to others, even casual conversations when you're waiting in a line at the supermarket or you're waiting for a bus, can be very helpful because yes, you can establish a lot. You can tell whether you get on with somebody and whether they live near you, and then you find, oh, they go to such and such and you go there on that day too. So you might start even carpooling. So these kinds of conversations that you have spontaneously in your communities are really very valuable because they're great lead-ins to this kind of further conversation.
They are. Well, the last time we were having a chat, you were talking about various tips and tricks for things to put into a grab bag. So if you had a little bag that you might put together when you left a home, you said a really good idea to laminate some personal documents, a copy of an ID perhaps, something like that, have a few laminated things, plastic bags that you might be able to put items in, clothing and so on, in your grab bag. Really good practical tips, and many tips and tricks you won't see on official lists, but you just get them from talking with other people and just thinking about the possibilities. And other people can help you think about what you might put in your plan. So we have a default, because we've looked at movies and we've seen depictions of this, that in an emergency, if you had to leave your home, we'd all go to a civil defence centre or some kind of community emergency hub, something like that. That might be a really, really good option. Might also be a good option to go and stay with family or friends first, because that's where you'd be more comfortable. And sometimes talking with people about what they plan to do will give you some ideas on that. And if you don't know where community emergency hubs run by community organisations, which are doing a great job, where they might be set up in your local area, a friend or neighbour might. So the conversations can be really rich. They might know groups that are planning to support the local community during an emergency, put you in touch. So, I really encourage people to add emergency readiness to conversation starters, you know, just when you're having casual conversations.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, I think people are anxious in these uncertain times. And so they often welcome an opportunity to explore their thinking, because these things are circulating in their heads as they're on their own, doing their dishes, looking out the window and wondering, what would I do? Where would I go? Yes. How would I manage?
Yes, I think it's a good thing for us to aim to reduce the stress. I mean, the things we are considering and we're a little anxious about, they prompt us, and they prompt us to take some action. So if we've got a bit of a plan written down and then something happens, we think, right, I know what to do. I've got a plan. It's that muscle memory. So we get it out and we look at it. If we had a bit of a think about where we would go and how we would get there, whom we would contact first. You know, telephone lines are commonly overloaded during emergencies. And so if you can't make a call, could I text? Could I email? Could my neighbour do that for me? If I get the ability to make a phone call just sometimes, who would I call first and make sure that that's the kind of prominent number just jotted down on my plan? If I had to give a message to someone and ask them to contact somebody for me, who would it be that I would give the number to someone who was helping? Those sorts of really practical things they sound small in and of themselves, but they do remove moments of stress when we really need to be free to be taking action and not to be cluttered by anxiety. So that can help. And of course, we're all different. People have different anxiety levels, which is fine too. It's just how we all are in life. Mm. And that's why it's important, the plans, that we do them. We have to do them ourselves because we know ourselves best. And we will think through what we can be relaxed about, what might give us some anxiety, and therefore how we might plan to work around it.
Yes, and I think understanding and knowing ourselves is so important when it comes to recognising what support things would you need in that grab bag.
Yes,
because
that's right.
I think sometimes I've heard people say, well, you know, I need a cushion for my head.
Mm.
You know, not a big cushion, but I need to make sure I've got one on board. So no matter where I am, I can still support my head.
Well, you just said on board. That reminds me to say that I quite often say to groups I'm talking with, a grab bag is not the time to remember that we're allowed 23 kilos on an aeroplane. Oh, thank you for laughing. A grab bag is a bag that we can carry comfortably, and everybody in the household should have one, including kids, because they can take a bag too, but one that we can carry. And into it would go some basic items, probably a piece of warm clothing, for example, maybe some clean underwear, a snack, a bottle of water. If we're taking an animal with us because a pet is precious and we want to take the pet to safety with us, a little snack for the pet is a good thing. Think about our medications to go into the grab bag. If somebody uses hearing aids, take hearing aid batteries. I always suggest to people that they think about the supports they use sometimes but don't use always. So if somebody sometimes uses reading glasses or uses one of those folding walking sticks, quite a good idea to take that. A phone charger, of course, a power bank that's a little gadget that stores charge so that you can recharge a mobile phone. They're quite readily available. I think that's a good thing to have. A little bit of cash, maybe. All just quite kind of ordinary things. Radio batteries, a small torch and some batteries, a little first aid kit, things like that. And I always suggest to people that if there are items that they have only one of and they use in their everyday life, they probably don't want to keep it in their grab bag in the bottom of the wardrobe. But attach a note to the grab bag. Remember X, and you write down what is the thing that you'll just need to grab as you're taking your grab bag. So you could use a few techniques like that. But yep, think of our own circumstances as we're putting our grab bag together and make it useful for us, not to survive out of for a fortnight, but just to take with us as we go somewhere to be settled, to have a cup of tea maybe, and to think what our next options are. Yes.
And I think for some people, certainly who've been caught up in some of the disasters, like in Australia on the New South Wales coast, where it was very difficult for them to get medication.
Yes.
I would suggest a laminated card with your medication written on it, both the brand name, the generic name, and the actual content of the medication.
That's a good tip.
You might know it as some... I don't know. I was trying to think of an example. But you might know it by a certain convenient label.
Yes.
But it may not be what's commonly known by other pharmacies
or
doctors. So,
yes.
I mean, it's really good to have it laminated because if it gets wet, it doesn't get soggy.
That's right.
And it's still readable. And whatever your dosage is.
That's right.
Because if you don't know what the dosage is, if you don't remember, no one else is necessarily going to know, because if there's power outages, then the computers will be down. So the hospital, Te Whatu Ora based information, stuff in your GP's database and so on, that won't be available. The pharmacy won't have its records up and running and so on. So it's really good to have your records accurate and up to date.
Yes, and there's some good information about handling medications in an emergency on the Radio New Zealand Emergency website. There's quite a good little guide there. So people who are computer users, I'd suggest you go there and have a look. And also, just think about your meds. Some people have medication that needs to be in the fridge. And so it's a good idea to talk to your doctor or your practice nurse about that medication and when it's safe to take it and what it would mean if it was, if the power went out and it wasn't being kept chilled for a certain period, what would you do? And how might you keep it chilled in other ways? You know, those sorts of things. So it's good to have those conversations in advance.
I think it's very good. I mean, there are some medications you could spin out, for example. Yes. You could have one every second day or without actually endangering yourself.
I'm not going to give medical advice. I can't even remember how to spell the name of my blood pressure tablet, so I'm not giving medical advice. But I think having the conversation is the key for your particular circumstances.
Yes, I'm not suggesting you make up a decision to take something every second day. What I'm suggesting is that you have the conversation.
That's right.
And then you agree on how would you cope if you had to spin something out for a longest time.
That's absolutely right.
All right. So I think we've covered a lot of ground today, and I hope this will give you confidence to be better prepared and to be less anxious and feel that actually this could be turn into a bit of an adventure. You might end up making new friends.
Could I just add one thing, Anne-Marie? I'd like to acknowledge all of the Aucklanders across our city, urban and rural places who stand up for their local communities when there's an emergency. There are lots of people in community organisations who are working to be ready with community emergency hubs and so on. So they're all part of civil defence too. We all are. And I really just want to acknowledge what Aucklanders do for other Aucklanders and indeed, you know, for people outside Auckland too sometimes. So thanks very much, everyone.
Yeah. Yes, and thanks to those people who've beavered away and produced the local community responsiveness plans for emergency management, because there are plans that are specific to your area.
There are, and you could find them in the CAB or in your local library. They'll probably have the plans as well.
And we're very good at abbreviations, but I've come across people who don't know what CAB is. That's the Citizens Advice Bureau. And there are some in most suburbs and across the region. So, and if you're not sure about where to find them, ask in the local library, because if they aren't housed in the library, they will be nearby.
Very good.
And on that finishing note, thank you for coming in, Greg.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity.
And we look forward to having more conversations in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
Say